I don't want to gain the whole world and lose my soul. You know, I want to start out and ask a very simple question that's somewhat complex. Are you living your life in light of eternity? You know, this world, I have found, is very challenging, and I'm sure you have too. I mean, sometimes we're faced with situations in our lives, and we've got a lot more questions than we do answers. And life will deal you blows that at times it leaves you angry, sometimes frustrated, many times just confused. I'm not sure we fully understand it all. And then there are times that I think spiritually we are hitting on all cylinders. You know, we're pursuing God, we're connecting, we're growing, we're standing strong, and we're trusting God. And things are really sweet in that spot. But then sometimes spiritually we drift, you know, and it's a struggle to kind of stay on course. And I think it's real easy, like the song said, to get hypnotized, to be desensitized by this world, and to live in the here and now, and to simply kind of operate in solo with this general disregard for God. And so we make choices that bring a lot of pain into our life and a lot of heartache and brokenness. And sometimes, if you're not careful, I think it's really easy to lose your perspective and to get very cynical and resentful and kind of distant with God. I think it's easy to lose your way. You know, we've been looking at songs that have got soul, and looking at these songs that speak to issues of the soul, and we've been concentrating on songs from the Old Testament, from the book of Psalms, which is songs. And today I want to focus on Psalm 73. It is a song that was written by Asaph, and we don't know much about the author. You know, most of the Psalms we've looked at were written by David. But as you're reading this Psalm, we know that he is struggling spiritually in his life, and it's something that he's been struggling with for quite a while. It's starting to mess with him at this point. Asaph, he freely admits that it is getting the best of him. And he starts out, he says, "But as for me, I almost lost my footing. My feet were slipping, and I was almost gone." Today, what we might say is, you know, I almost bailed on God. I nearly lost my faith altogether. You know, this kind of knocked the spiritual wind out of me. It knocked me off my feet. And so what was messing with him? Well, he's going to tell us in the next verse. He says, "For I envied the proud when I saw them prosper despite their wickedness." You know, this is the observation that messed with him. He's struggling spiritually in his life because he's become very cynical. He's resentful because of that observation. And what we're going to find out is he was pursuing God in his life. I mean, he was all in. It was all heart and all of his soul, all of his mind and strength was geared toward God. But that observation got in his head because he kept mulling it over and over and over in his mind. He says, "They seem to live such painless lives. Their bodies are so healthy and strong. They don't have trouble like other people. They're not plagued with problems like everyone else." I mean, he starts to lose his objectivity, I think. Because basically he's looking and he goes, "I've got all these problems in my life. But these evil people, they don't. Yeah, I'm struggling, but they're not struggling." And so he's starting to build this wall, and he gets real discouraged, and it kind of takes him deeper and deeper. He says, "They wear pride like a jewel necklace and clothe themselves with cruelty. These fat cats have everything their hearts could ever wish for." I love that translation. Now, friends, he goes on for many verses like this, and he is venting. You know, "These people, they're unbelievably arrogant. you know, they are being ruthless. They kind of disregard you, God. They disregard other people, and they do it with pride. God, they're continually kind of concocting these ways about them to inflict evil in the world. And then he kind of sums it up. He says, look at these wicked people enjoying a life of ease while their riches multiply. God, these people have a disregard for you. They mistreat people. Yet they're prospering. I can't stand it, God. You know, God, I'm done with this. And you sense this tension in him. And here's the key to really understanding what's going on with him. It's kind of the root of the spiritual funk that he's in, that he's struggling with. He says, did I keep my heart pure for nothing? Did I keep myself innocent for no reason? I get nothing but trouble all the day long. Every morning brings me pain. If I had really spoken this way to others, I would have been a traitor to your people. I've been an idiot. I kept my heart pure. I kept my heart clean. God, I went all in. I thought you would protect me. I thought you would provide me with some good stuff along the way. I guess the joke's on me. I mean, can you sense the frustration here? The tide's rising in him. He's saying these things to God, not anybody else. In fact, he says, if I had said them out loud, the other people, he's talking about the other people that were serving God, they heard it, they'd go, you're a traitor. What are you doing? Now, friends, I know some of you today, you're here and you're kind of exploring, checking out the faith and trying to figure out where God fits in your life. And my prayer is that you continue that search, that you come to a point where you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior. And then you start pursuing God and growing in your relationship with God. But for many of you, if you've been on that path for a long time, and Christ is your Savior, and you've been pursuing, and you've been growing, and if you take God's commandments seriously, and you're striving to be that person of character, that person of integrity, you've been trying to honor God in every area of your life. Friends, as you're pursuing God, I think in our minds, we think, you know, somewhere along the way, this will pay off. But then you have those moments. You have those moments every once in a while. If you've been following very long, you've probably had this, where disillusionment comes crashing in. And this thought occurs to you. Maybe I'm an idiot. Perhaps I'm taking this stuff too serious. You know, maybe I'm just too following God too closely. It doesn't make sense. I mean, well, I've had more than my fair share of problems. This isn't paying off. I mean, I did things by the book. I denied myself a lot of pleasures and fun in life. For what? I've had it. I'm done. Friends, I think that's one of the worst feelings in the world. That moment when you realize, I might be the fool here. You know, I remember when I was in college, there was a group of guys that were going to go out for the evening and just goof off. That's what you do when you're in college. And so they cruise by my room, and they're like, hey, we're going out. You want to go out with us? And I'm like, no, I've got to study for a test in the morning. And one of the guys goes, what do you mean? What are you doing? I'm like, I'm studying. He says, we've got the test. I mean, how do you think we keep getting A's? You know, we've been doing this for a long time. I'll give you the answers. And what I came to realize was about half my class was cheating. You know, and there was that moment when I am going, you got to be kidding me. I study really hard. I spend hours to get an A. And you're out playing and goofing off, and you're going to get the same A. And I remember thinking, I know what I'm doing is right. But maybe I am the idiot here. No, I'm not the idiot. And there was that moment. I remember working at Kroger's. And it was an hourly job, and I loved that job. And I was working midnights at the time, and that's back when you had to punch a time clock, you know? How many of you had to punch a time clock? Just curious, you know? Well, anyway, I had been working there for a couple years, and I had never really noticed it before, but I was punching out one day at the end of my work shift, and I noticed that some of the guys were like punching out 2 and 3 cards. And so I started kind of paying attention. And then I noticed that when I was clocking in, there were other guys that were doing the same thing. And so I just asked, I said, what are you guys doing? And they go, hey, we've got the system. See, we punch in our buddies early, but they come in late. And then some of us punch in our friends early, and they come in late to work. And so you've got this little system going on. And I'm sitting there looking at this, and I'm thinking, really? So you're clocking them in and out, but they're not here. And what I found out was quite a few workers were doing it. And the guy that I approached about it, he's like, well, Damon, do you want in? He says, it's good for an extra $100 a paycheck or so. And I'm like, no. And I remember him looking at me like I was an idiot. And every time we got our paychecks, and theirs was always more than mine, there was that moment that I thought, you know, maybe this is how the world works. Maybe I am the fool here. And friends, I could go on and on with examples like that, moments that I've had in my life, and I'm sure you could too. I bet everyone here that takes their faith seriously has had that moment. You know, where you're playing by the rules, where you tell the truth, where you're not cutting the corners. And the people around you who are playing in shades of gray, they're cutting corners, they're taking advantage of someone or some system. And some of them, even Christians, claiming to be Christians, and they're getting ahead. See, it appears that they're on the rise, that it's going well, that there are no consequences sometimes. And you have that moment. Maybe I am taking this stuff too serious. Maybe nobody lives this out. Maybe I am the idiot here. And you turn it over and over in your mind, and it starts to eat at you. That's what Aesop's doing. He's looking at things, and he says, you know what, maybe all this stuff I've been doing, all these ways I'm following God, maybe I'm doing this in vain. And he starts doubting himself. He's struggling. And then he kind of hits this tipping point where he's having all these problems, and he's struggling with why this is going on and if he's doing the right thing. And Scripture says, then I went into your what? Sanctuary. We might say today, I had all this confusion. I had all this frustration. And then one day I went to church. See, he's in the sanctuary worshiping. Aesop is worshiping. And the truth comes crashing in on him. Now, I don't know if it was in the music or the message or maybe some other element in the service that touched him. But he was in the right place at the right time, and he has two thoughts, these two realizations that kind of blow his mind. And here's the first one. He says, "And I finally understood the destiny of the wicked." And here's the second one. Truly you put them on a slippery path and sent them sliding over the cliff to destruction. Aesop, he ponders these two truths, and he leaves the sanctuary that day, and he's transformed. I mean, if you don't believe me, you read the next verse. He says, "I was so foolish and ignorant. I must have seemed like a senseless animal to you. Yet I still belong to you. You hold my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. Lead me to a glorious destination. God, what was I thinking? You know, why was I doubting you? I get it now. You are leading me to a glorious destination." He's talking about heaven here. "You're leading me to heaven." And then he goes on. He says, Whom have I in heaven but you? I desire you more than anything on earth. My health may fail, and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart. He's mine forever. God, my world may spin out. Things may not work out for me, but God, you are my strength. You're my hope. You're my salvation. In the last verse, he says, "But as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shelter, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do." He says, "I'm making a choice. God, you will be my shelter. I mean, call me an idiot, but I'm sticking with God. There's no other option for me. I'm all in." And so, at the beginning of the psalm, Aesop, he's thinking about bailing on God. He's thinking about bailing because, well, too many good things are happening to bad people. And then he's starting to feel like a fool, you know, for trying to live this pure life. And so he goes to the sanctuary one day, and he leaves transformed, and he moves from that attitude to, "It's worth it. It all makes sense. There's no doubt about it. I am all in, God." Now, what I want to do is unpack the two thoughts that changed his thinking. You know, when he entered the sanctuary, those two thoughts that I believe can transform our lives just like they did his life. And the first one is he understood their final destination, and he understood the fact that they were on the slippery path, so to speak. And what I want to do, I want to look at them in reverse order, and so I want to start with the slippery path. I mean, what does it mean to be on a slippery path? Aesop is saying, well, people that are far from God, people that are doing their own thing, that are ignoring God's counsel, it kind of hits him. He goes, wait a minute. They're on slippery ground. Now, how many of you know what slippery ground is? I mean, I do. I was last winter, I was heading into the church one morning. There's a little bit of frost on the ground. And I've got my backpack and my Starbucks. 1 minute, I'm walking, very confident. Everything's fine. And the next minute, I was on the ground. Now, I did three things very, very fast. The first thing you do when you fall, you look around, see if anybody saw you, right? Image is important. So I looked around. I was good on that. I'm always, or usually, the first one here, or David and myself will be the first ones here. Second thing I did, which was the most important thing, by the way, I checked to see if my coffee was good, and I had saved it. And then I got around to assessing whether I'd broke anything or injured myself. I'm sure every one of you have had that experience. you're walking along, everything's fine, and then boom, you're down. Aesop, he realized this concept of slippery ground, and he applies it to people who are not living for God. Many of you remember a few years ago a financier by the name of Bernie Madoff. Friends, one day he was eating world-class meal in a world-class apartment in Manhattan. And the next day, he's eating prison food in a downtown jail. I mean, he had been on slippery ground the whole time. He's ripping off people, classic Ponzi scheme. When he was living large, people envied him. They wanted his glamorous life. See, they didn't know that all along he was on slippery ground. I guarantee you nobody envies him today. He's in prison, 150-year sentence, family blown apart. Slippery path, and it slid over, and it was destruction. And friends, we see this kind of thing almost daily on the news. And here's the point. Be very, 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 very careful ever envying people who are far from God. Be careful envying the rich and the famous, the celebrities, the rock stars, the power brokers, the business titans, the politicians. Be very careful, because far more times than you know, those individuals stand on very slippy ground. And like that, they're exposed, they're indicted, they're convicted, they're humiliated many times. That gripped Asaph's heart. God revealed that truth to him. He's like, what am I doing? Why am I envying these people? And in fact, he realizes a high percentage were on the slippery ground. You know, and friends, I just want to add this. It's not really what the text is about, but some are on slippery places today. You know, some shady deal, some shady person, some shady carrying on, shady stuff. Friends, and I strongly suggest, in fact, I'd be willing to beg you to move from that slippery ground and get on some solid ground with God. I mean, I would pray that the Holy Spirit, through His Word, might tear down that your defenses, you know, crack through the wall, expose the heart, you know, to the point that you go, you know what, I am in a very slippery place, and I've got to stop this right now. I've got to stop this before it plays out in my life. I'm getting out of this deal before it plays out. I don't want anything to do with it. Friends, I would challenge you. I mean, if God's speaking to you, you go home and you thank God. You thank God that you came to church today. You thank God that He exposed you to that truth that was found in the psalm. And thank God because you were able to learn from someone else's experience. See, I learned early on, the best mistakes are the ones someone else makes. And I learn from it. And that's true. One more time. On a slippery place today, get to higher ground. Get to the solid ground. I mean, can we agree on that together? Just be there. Asaph, he makes a commitment. That's why he says, you know, I'm going to put my right hand in God's hand. I'm going to let God lead me. I'm going to let God guide me. I am done with the slippery place. Don't want anything to do with it. It is not an option for me anymore. I am going your way, God, for the rest of my life. And the other truth that comes crashing in on him is, see, He says, I understood their destiny. I get where they're heading. I get it. I was in my kitchen a couple weeks ago. I was fixing dinner, and the news went off, and one of those entertainment shows come on. And during the time, I'm kind of cooking and watching, and it was like in a half hour time, they went from Lady Gaga to Charlie Sheen to Snooki to Tom Cruise. And I'll be honest with you, I was watching this, and you got these fans going crazy and this crowd going crazy, and they're people who are admired by millions of people. I was looking the other day. Lady Gaga has 38 million followers on Twitter. All right? That's a pretty big fan base. Now, hear me very carefully. I am not negating that some of those individuals I mentioned are very talented. I'm not negating that they're creative. I'm not negating that they work hard, some of them. But friends, with each story, as I was listening to it, there was just a sadness for me. I mean, several of the stories, there was just a disregard for God. Almost all of them very self-absorbed, meistic. It was very troubling. And some of them said things that as I'm listening to it, I couldn't help but wonder where it's all heading, what their future held, what their eternity would be. And friends, this thought's what hit me. Man, you better enjoy the fame. You better enjoy the adoration. You better enjoy all the stuff now. Because if something doesn't change in your relationship with God, the eternity that you're facing, it's going to be awful. Aesop, he's kind of self-convicted because he's been envying all the prosperous people that were around him. People who had totally disregarded God, tossed God's ways to the curb. People that were living in that slippery place. And he enters the sanctuary. And it's there that he realizes their ultimate destination. It's not going to be heaven. And his heart shifts. His mind shifts. And this thought hits him. Why would I envy anyone who's not going to heaven? Friends, Jesus talked a lot about hell. And he talked about it in such a way that he really would stop people dead in their tracks. I mean, he'd use imagery of aloneness, separation, darkness. He'd talk about that ultimately it leads to this anguish and suffering. And then he kind of underlines it by saying, it never ends. It's eternal. You know, one time Jesus, he just asked that cutting question. He says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? Jesus had a way of just cutting through the clutter, cutting through the facade, the haze. He says, you know what? Choose very carefully. Take the emotions out of it and do the simple math. Just do it. You gain the world for a brief time. It's a flash in the overall scheme of things. But lose your soul? Wind up separated from God? Separated from everyone else forever? Think very carefully. The math's terrible if you make that choice. Friends, you are going to be in eternity longer than you will be in this world. And I know as I say that, some are going, yeah, okay, I know that, I get it. No, let me repeat this. You're going to be in the next reality. Do not let any earthly temptation, any disenchantment, distraction, entanglement, addiction, don't let anything compromise your relationship with God, because He's the one that can secure your eternity for you. Get this life right. Because once we're in heaven, and once we have heaven, when you know it's yours, you can put up with a lot in this world. ASAP. His mind shifts. His heart shifts. His whole life shifts. And it came about in the sanctuary. Normal service, maybe like what we're having today. Friends, I get concerned because I know the life circumstances that we all live in. I know the workplace that we tend to operate in, the recreational life that we live in. And sometimes I look at this world and I wonder, how are we going to keep our heads on straight living in a screwed up world like we live in? I mean, how are we going to keep from envying the lives of people that are far from God? I mean, how are we going to keep ourselves from going, I think I might be an idiot? That type of thinking. How do we keep that out of our mind? See, I think Asaph would say, for starters, we need to go to the sanctuary of God. We need to make it a discipline in our life. We need to make it there every week so that we can sit and we can listen. And stuff can be revealed to our hearts and our minds. You know, there's nothing else like the sanctuary of God. There's no other place like it. And I think also Asaph would say, make time for God on a daily basis. Talk with God. Let God speak to you through just reading a few scriptures. See, that's your private sanctuary. That's the place where you and God just meet. And you allow the Holy Spirit to speak to your heart, to speak to your mind. Ultimately, it's speaking to your soul. He says, but as for me, how good it is to be near God. I have made the sovereign Lord my shepherd, and I will tell everyone about the wonderful things you do. I've made a decision. I've made a choice. Higher ground for me. Living in light of eternity. That's how I'm going to live. Living with my hand in God's hand. Letting Him lead. I'm going His way. Why? Because it's the only way. It's the only option. Nothing else makes sense, friends. It is the only math that works. You are not crazy for going God's way. You're not crazy for being full on and all in when it comes to God. Living for God, you will never regret it. Never regret it. It's about your soul. I don't want to lose my soul. And I don't think you do either. Now, I want to have prayer for us. And then I just ask you to remain seated. And the song they sang before the message, I want you to really take in what God's saying to you this morning. Where are you at with the slippery place and the solid ground? Where are you at with your soul? Let's bow in prayer. our holy God. God, it's so easy to get sidetracked in this world. This world the agenda sometimes to destroy the soul. God, I pray that you'd give us wisdom to go your way. And God, I pray that those moments, and we all have them, when we think, I don't know if it's worth it. And it looks like everybody else is prospering. God, I pray that you just remind us, get this life right, that it is worth it. And we'll never regret running after you, pursuing you. I mean, this life might be rough sometimes. God, I know there are some right now that life's really rough. And God, I pray your spirit would just whisper to them that they're doing the right thing, that they're standing on solid ground, that it's worth it, that just give them the strength to keep pushing through. And God, I also know that there are some today that the ground's slippery. I pray you would wake them up. They don't have to take a mighty fall. God, I pray that we would honor you with all we say, all we do. That we'd give you glory with our actions and with our thoughts. God, don't let us win the world and lose our soul. Keep us close to you. It's in Christ's holy name we pray. Amen.